With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a gorgeous Friday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick Without Dick. You mailing in for Dick Fain, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
You use up all the glue on purpose.
Need tickets for this week? Talk about random. Holy moly. You need tickets for the weekend. Mariners at T-Mobile Park against the Astros. Sounders tonight against Minnesota, don't you know? VenueKings.com has your tickets. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little something-something back from yours truly. All right, here we go. Where do you want to start? A couple of ex-athletes becoming owners today. First of all, Marshawn Lynch is joining the ownership group of the Oakland Roots. That's a soccer team playing in the USL Championship, one level below the MLS. Dwayne Wade has purchased an ownership stake of the Utah Jazz, the Mariners.
Yay!
Sweeping the doubleheader in Baltimore yesterday, first in the American League West.
Yay!
Three games tonight against the Astros. Yusei Kikuchi in game one versus Jose Urquidy for Houston. And the Sounders open up the year.
Yay!
Against Minnesota. 6:50 kickoff, 6:20 pregame. Both those games down in Soto. Should be an awesome scene with plenty of people gathering around for the first time in a long time. Be safe. Wear your mask, Jackson. College basketball, 6'7" forward Tyler Linhart from Kings High School, the 1A State Player of the Year, announcing his commitment to UW today via Instagram and on Twitter, by the way. And USC freshman Evan Mobley announcing he will enter the NBA draft.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
All right, here we go. Big show on a big Friday afternoon right here on 950 KJR. Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network coming up. Later on today, a little fun with audio slash, hey, did you hear that 420 on the program as well?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
And Ryan Bowman, defensive lineman for the Dogs, is going to stop by the program. But you know what? The opportunity that I have in front of me today to talk football with one of the great football minds I believe that humanity has ever offered, our pal Hugh Millen joins us from high atop Snoqualmie Ridge. Oh. How are you?
Your eyes are turning brown. You're so full of it.
Did I read that right? I want to make sure I read that right. That note that you gave me. I want to make sure we have it right.
Yeah, I gave you that note. Yeah.
Anybody who knows you knows that is not true. I'm good. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We got a scrimmage over at UW. We are out enjoying the sun at Husky practice today. Ryan Bowman, like we said, will join us in a matter of minutes. I think Ryan Bowman is on the Van Wilder plan over at UW. This is year, I think it's either year 6 or 12 for him. I'm not sure which one it is, but he'll join us on the year. He definitely is one of the OGs, absolutely one of the OGs on campus over at Washington. And it really kind of, you know, makes you wonder, is that defensive line, Hugh, ready to step up and dominate the way they were in 2016? So we can talk about that as the show goes by. I was very curious, though, to see our buddy Greg Rosenthal of the NFL Network over at NFL.com did a general manager power rankings list a week and a half before the NFL draft.
So it's kind of a fun challenge now. We love it.
And he did it on a different set of criteria. You know, Hawk fans always like to know, you know, what do people across the country think of the Hawks? What do they think of our quarterback? What do they make of Pete Carroll? They don't have our guys ranked high enough, so they're stupid, right? Things like that happen all the time. So what he did is he did a power ranking list of the current GMs in the NFL, but he focused on how they use their draft capital going back to 2015. So obviously not everybody was qualified on the list because some guys have been fired and some guys have run only one draft or less, some new guys in the NFL. So basically 23 general managers were up for eligibility on this list. He's got John Schneider and the Seahawks.
So it's kind of a fun challenge now. We love him.
At number 12, literally right in the middle. I'm going to read you the blurb he's got here when explaining why he put John Schneider at number 12. He says his worst pick was Rashad Penny in the first round 2018. Best pick, DK Metcalf, round number 264 overall in 2019. He says the Hawks are good for a few surprises on draft day, but they've had their share of hits since 2015. Lockett, Metcalf, Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, Shaquille Griffin among them. Critics have blamed the Hawks for not prioritizing the offensive line, but it's more accurate to say they've just chosen and coached the position poorly. There are few too many early picks that have not contributed much, including Marquise Blair, L.J. Collier, Rashad Penny, Malik McDowell, and Amara Darbo. Remember that guy, the wide receiver out of Michigan? Sure. Was he not a third-round draft pick, Darbo? Yeah. My God. So
great personal story. But
yeah, absolutely. I guess it just brings up a question for me. As we head into the draft next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, a week and a half from now, how much do we trust these guys on draft day?
Well, it's a fair question. I think that it was once said that if you have a reputation as an early riser, you can sleep till noon. And yeah. I think that at some point you could say that the Carroll Schneider tandem had kind of earned a reputation as being great evaluators. Their first 3 years there or that period from 2010 to 2012, they had 28 draft picks, David. And since then they've had, I'm going to eliminate the 2020 draft because we just
right.
can't evaluate.
Too early. Okay? Right.
So
correct.
From 13 to 19. So they had 28 picks in those three rounds. They got 19 starters, 8 Pro Bowl players, and 3 first team all pros. You say, wow. say, well, what is a starter? I'm going off a Pro Football Reference. They list a guy as a starter if he started over half of the games. Okay. So this is all objectivity here.
Right.
So to compare that, again, 28 picks versus 69 since then. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You've got your drop probably available.
I do. It's right here. Thank you.
69.
Yeah. So
you're starting to get this, by the way. I like that.
Well, so here's the percentages. So let's go starters. You went from 67.9% of your draft picks were starters to 27.5%. Now, I know that if you're paying attention, you say, well, wait a minute. There's fewer starting picks available
right.
because you already filled them. I get that. But so it was 27.5% versus you had been at 67.9. Your Pro Bowl rate went from 28.6% of your draft picks down to 5.8%.
Mm-hmm.
And your first team all pro went from 10.7% to 2.9%.
Wow.
So it's been a drop. Again, they had filled a lot of those spots. But I think just that point aside, you just look at the players and you can see that it was prolific for a three-year period. And it's been since then actually below average. And so so I think that you end up with a figure at about 12th out of 32, which is of course better than the median by a little bit, but not much. It's not like the top five or top two or three like they had been for that 3 year stretch.
Well, I think the question of do we trust these guys on draft day is fair for exactly those reasons, those numbers that you put out there, and it's also fair to question whether or not they can actually fix this offensive line and get it to an elite level again. And I guess the question is, does it have to be at an elite level? When you had a running back like Marshawn Lynch that could run through a brick wall, right, over and over and over again and drag tacklers downfield with him, maybe the most violent runner that the Seahawks have ever had in their franchise history, one of the most violent runners ever in the history of the NFL, maybe you did not need to have an elite offensive line. Do they need to have an elite offensive line to go where they want to go? I've always said, and I believe Huey, it's the same thing now for Washington, and maybe even more than ever because they're running a pro-style system. You want to run a pro-style system at Washington, that's fine. You better dominate the line of scrimmage, and I mean on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively. For the Seahawks, that team in 2013, people tend to forget, they were the highest-paid offensive line in football, okay? Highest paid offensive line, and they had the deepest defensive line that I think the franchise has ever had. They were great really, on both sides of the ball. Maybe more elite on the defensive line than the offensive line, but the offensive line was very, very good in 2013. So do we trust them to fix this offensive line? Because you look at the draft picks that they've selected on the offensive line, and they don't do a lot for you. They really don't. Yeah. I mean, Damian Lewis has had the 1 year, very good rookie year at right guard, but let's see what happens now moving on to year two. Some of these guys that they've selected, Phil Haynes, obviously, 2 years ago, doesn't look like he's going to do a lot for this football team. Jamarco Jones is going into year four. What has he really done so far with this football team? Ethan Posick 5 years ago, but now we're talking about replacing that guy. So sure. I don't know if I trust them to rebuild this offensive line through the draft.
Well, the offensive line during those years, as you said, they could spend the money.
Yep.
Because Russell was making the lowest percentage of anybody of all starting quarterbacks, probably, if not, you know, of all the contenders. And in watching their scheme, you know, I'd watch the TV copy and study till 2 a.m. Come on and do the Monday show. Then on my, I would get the coach's tape, and I'd get the sideline and the end zone. That's what's called the intercut. That's how the players and the coaches watch the tape. And in watching that zone blocking, people I think have a fuzzy kind of a low resolution view of what zone blocking is. But it, one of the ways to just simplify it is that zone blocking is just two guys. It's a method of double teaming. A certain two have a certain two based on the front. For example, let's say that I'm the right guard and you're the center. Okay. And we got Jackson Feltz is going to be the linebacker. And let's say Slickhawk is in the next room. Slickhawk's going to be the defensive lineman.
Yeah. Slickhawk's well, not here. So we'll make it Shockey. Shockey's here though. We're all good.
Shockey's here. Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. So Shockey's the defensive lineman and Jackson's the linebacker.
Okay. Linebacker.
Right? Yeah. Is Shockey willing to accept that he's the D lineman?
You want to be a D lineman? He says, sure. He's fine. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Go.
So Shockey's, we'll put him at the nose tackle. Yeah. Let's.
And I'm the right guard. Is that correct?
You're the center. I'm the right guard. Okay, pay attention here.
Okay, I'm getting confused now. All right.
So what we would say, you think of now there's going to be a couple of double teams, at least a couple of double teams on the line. But really what it is it's a way of all four guys are double teaming, and you might have a fifth guy that's going to go solo. But you and I are going to work in tandem. It's just you and me against Slickhawk and Jackson and Shockey. Okay, so we come off and we try and we step. There's certain things about our steps, so how we're going to step in unison. But we're going to have our eyes as we're blocking Shockey. Our eyes are going to be on Jackson, and I'm the right guard. And if the ball's going to the outside, if Jackson goes to my side, then you and I are going to double team, and then I'm going to go block Jackson, right? Or as you and I, we're going to try and get great movement. When I coached offensive line in middle school, I'd say, hey, when we have these double teams, we want massive movement. So I'd come back the next day. What kind of movement are we going to get, kids? Massive, right? It's going to be like you and me throwing a guy out of the bar. We are going to be bouncers, and we are going to take Shockey. But we want to get great movement. But both of our eyes are also watching Jackson as we're blocking Shockey, okay, who's the defensive lineman. So we're working as a pair, but then the left guard and the left tackle may be working as a pair.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or I might be working in a pair with the right, because I'm the right guard, I might be working in a pair, but it's they're working in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would notice with Marshawn Lynch is I'm like, why are they not getting to the linebacker? I would sit there and watch it over and over and go, Marshawn Lynch, BYOB, dude. Be your own blocker, because nobody's trying to get to the second level for you. They're just trying to get that massive movement that I'm talking about, but nobody's taking the extra step to have an adequate next level zone block. And it was just startling to me how often the main guy, the middle linebacker, the dude with the Bing Sobrero on the front seven for them is unblocked, and Marshawn Lynch has got to take him on.
Yeah.
And he did.
Well, guess what?
And it was really remarkable.
They don't have a guy like that right now, though. They can do that. So they're going to have to get better. And I think this is a real big conversation that we have to have, because Russell Wilson has essentially called out the players, and he's also called out the front office for not doing enough to address that. So I want to discuss that as the show goes by. When we come back, Ryan Bowman, though, we'll switch gears for a little bit, do a little detour. Ryan Bowman, defensive lineman for the Dogs, going to join us next on 950 KJ.
Podcast all in one app.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
And a fumble. Washington needs that. And the Huskies have it at the 33-yard line. A huge turnover by Penn State. Ryan Bowman recovered it for the Huskies.
You know, it's funny. That was the Fiesta Bowl against Penn State a couple years ago down there in Arizona, Huey. And I'm thinking that, well, if 2020 was kind of a free year for these guys, Ryan Bowman redshirted in 2016, and he plays in 2017, 18, 19, and 20, but only one of those years counts. I wonder if he has an extra year after this year, or if 6 years for him on campus is going to be enough. We'll find out. He's listed as a linebacker, but I think of him as more of a defensive end. Ryan Bowman, number 55 in your program, number one in his mom's heart, is joining us right now on the program. How are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm amazing. How are you guys doing?
Good. So is this it? Is year six Ryan Bowman's last year, or is there going to be a year seven down the road for you?
I would definitely say this is my last year, but with all the uncertainty in the world, I could be at UW for 15 years. Who knows?
Well, I mean, I guess my question would be, why would you want to stop being a college football player and stop being a kid unless somebody pays you millions of dollars to do something else?
Exactly. It's the only way to stop.
Had you thought about coming out last year?
No, honestly, because I know that I'm such a different player than I was when I got to play a full season in 2019. And if I came out, then teams wouldn't be seeing the player that I currently am. Mm. And I knew I had to put that on tape before I would think about coming out. So I was planning to do that last year, but getting COVID after the second game kind of screwed up my plans.
Wow.
But I have fully embraced, you know, coming back another year and being able to do this thing again with all the guys that we got, and just making sure that I can really capitalize on these opportunities and really improve day to day. And I think we're doing that as a whole, as a defense, as an offense. So it's a pretty good ride right now.
Yeah. Well, you're the Ryan Bowman's with us, and you're the second player in the last couple of weeks that has come on and talked about having COVID from last year. Puka was the first when he transferred. We had him on and talked about, you know, his journey and his experience with COVID. Talk about that, man, and what that was like for you to go through last year.
Yeah, it just sucked because I was really looking forward to playing those games, and we had a good game against Arizona, and we had a great week of practice preparing for Utah. And Friday, the day before the game, one of our trainers came into the room and had to grab me out with a positive COVID test. And I was thinking, like, it's got to be a false positive, you know? And I basically was just chilling at home, quarantining from everybody all day, waiting to hear my results from my other test. And it turned out that it was a positive test. And I had to then miss the game against Utah in quarantine. And I tried my best to get back to play against Stanford, but with the protocols and all that, I wasn't able to do that either. And then right when I came back in preparation for Oregon, tons of guys started popping with COVID on the team, and it was like our season was over. And it was just tons of preparation. It was a lot of mental gymnastics, you know. It was tons of preparation, tons of working out with this one main goal in mind, and then all of that getting cut short because of positive COVID tests.
And has that experience changed you or the team? Like, how are you guys handling COVID? What is different now? Obviously, it's just spring. It's we're not playing games on Saturday. But how are things different in terms of from an organizational, instructional policy towards handling COVID?
Well, everyone's really dialed into the policies that have been bestowed upon us. You know, guys want. They do not want to lose football. You know, it's like we experienced losing football and it sucks. And the one thing I mainly notice being out there during spring ball is guys really are letting their energy come out and their love for the game show. Because guys, usually their whole lives, it's like, oh, we're always playing football. You know, like that's just part of their lives. COVID happens, it gets taken away. These guys are flying around with great energy because they're really embracing the love that they have for the game.
Ryan Bowman of the Huskies with us. And Ryan, you mentioned a moment ago in your response that you kind of alluded to the unique nature of the type of player you are that you see yourself as. Kind of elaborate on that. What in your mind is something you referenced trying to show the NFL who you are, what you are as a player? Just kind of amplify your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, in 2019, when I got to play the last full season I played for the Dogs, it's just the way that I am now, the way that I'm playing the game now, I believe that I'm at least three times better than the 2019 guy. Hmm. So I figured there's no chance I could leave and declare when I'm a totally different player than I was. And also, I'd really love to be that player for Husky Nation for one more year. It's like, why not?
Why?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How and why? Just
how are you and why are you a different player? That's right. Much of a better player.
Yeah, I'm about two times stronger in every aspect of my body than I was in 2019. I'm also much more athletic, and I worked a ton on my footwork. A ton of stuff, you know, like on-field mobility type stuff, just honing pass rush technique, things like that, you know, really examining the game for what it is and examining the greats who play and just mimicking what they do, not only in the way that they play, but also in the way that they train in their preparation, you know, and just implementing all of that into my own game and watching day-to-day is how things can get better, you know, and little nuances of your technique, little nuances of your ability. It's kind of incredible to see, you know, people, you know, you got to take it day by day or else you're not going to achieve those things that you want to. But when you take it day by day, it's like pretty monumental what you can do with yourself.
Well, you're also a lot smarter because you're 40 years old now.
Exactly. That's also the biggest thing.
Listen, man, we are thrilled to have you back. And it's funny because when I talked about you coming on the air, Ryan, again, Ryan Bowman, you know, I think of you as more of a down lineman, more of a defensive end.
I think of myself more as a defensive tackle, defensive end hybrid.
Yeah, but they got you listed as an outside linebacker. So how do we address that?
I just do what they need me to do. It's like if they need me to play outside back, I'm going to play that. If they need me to line up at nose or a three tech, I could play that too.
What about
so the way that it is?
Go ahead.
I could just play whatever they want me to play on the D line.
Okay, on the D line, I was going to say, how about safety? How about corner? How about quarterback? How about wide receiver? You do all those things.
If they asked me to play safety, I would consider that. Corner, no way.
I love it. Well, Ryan Bowman's with
us. This is cover two, right?
Exactly. How about the rest of that defensive line? Because, you know, I look around and I see experience everywhere. Zion's been here for a while. Thule and Taki have been here for a while. You got the transfer, Jeremiah Martin. You've been here forever. I mean, this group on paper, I don't know, man. I mean, Ryan, you tell us. If you were sitting here doing our job as sports talk radio host in Seattle, talking about this Husky defensive line, what would your expectations be for that group?
If I were you guys, I would be hyping things up like crazy. Especially, I would not even just defense, you know, offense too, the way that those guys are dialed in doing their thing. It's this team that we have right now could be a big contender, and I really believe that, you know, being with these guys every day out here. These dudes love football, and we have experience. It's just a part of, you know, we're getting young guys dialed in too, and it's just the only way from here is up. So if I were you guys, I would be hyping the hell out of UW football in general.
Well, we are, and I think particularly on that defense, you got those I don't know. You got, it looks like you got 2-0 techniques, you know, at defensive tackle. So you got plenty of girth inside and some muscle. And then you guys out there as you start to get to the perimeter. But you said you try and emulate somebody, a few people, and bring that to your game. I was watching you. I was watching your body style. I was watching how you move, kind of your impact, your style of play. And I was going, God, he reminds me of somebody. He reminds me of somebody. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I know exactly who it reminds me of to my eyes. So I'm going to give you a first shot, and then I'm going to tell you who I thought you reminded me of. And let's see if we're even remotely on the same page. Who do you try and emulate? Like, in your mind's eye, you see yourself as who of let's say great players at that position.
Yeah. Well, the guy that I want to emulate the most is Aaron Donald, because he's the best and the most dominant, and we're the exact same size. So
Wow. Okay. So that means you want to play inside, right?
Yeah. Time out, because Aaron Donald just punched the guy in the face like 3 days ago. You don't want to be that guy, dude.
I heard that, you know, don't quote me on this, through the grapevine, I heard that it was actually his brother that punched the guy, but I don't know for sure.
Wow. Okay.
Well, there's a video that might be indicating that you're right on that, but you're not ready to throw hands with anybody in a bar here over the next couple weeks, are you?
No, I won't be in any bars, but I'll throw hands on a football field.
Well, you and I'm not sure we were real close. Look, if you're a hybrid between your guy and my guy, I was thinking of Clay Matthews. I thought that you had a movement to you. What's that?
I love Clay, definitely. But, you know, I just figure Clay's 6'3", so I mainly want to emulate guys that are my size. And, I mean, I was training with Aaron a couple weeks ago and got to see him in person, you know, and it's like,
wow.
My mind, that's the guy I want to emulate, you know. So I'm watching him, I'm watching how he does everything, and applying that in my game.
Well, Ryan Bowman's with us. You got to tell us more about that, dude, because Aaron Donald is a one-man wrecking crew and maybe one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the NFL. So you come on this show and you tell us that you were training with Aaron Donald. Tell us more about that and how you got that hooked up.
Yeah, my dad was able to get in touch with his trainer over in Pittsburgh, and I just started messaging him off my dad's Twitter account because he followed my dad back. And asked if I could get down to Pittsburgh to just train, you know. And I went over to Pittsburgh over spring break a couple weeks ago. And we were just training footwork and agility type stuff. And my flight was scheduled for a Wednesday night. And I ended up changing my flight to Thursday because the trainer, his name is Dwayne Brown, he told me that Aaron would be there Thursday morning. And I was like, that's an opportunity I can't miss. So I got to change my flight to Thursday night so I can train with Aaron Thursday morning and just pick his brain, you know, and watch how he works. So Thursday morning I was able to train with Aaron and a couple other guys. So that was a dream come true to me, for real.
Of course. So you're flying back and you're taking mental notes about what you observed. What's the takeaway? You spent that time. It had to be incredible, you know, life-changing, possibly it's life-changing, but it had to be a very memorable experience. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, my main takeaway was that with a certain amount of hard work, all things are possible, you know, like taking it day by day and just making sure you win every day in terms of things that you got to do to improve yourself as a player mentally and physically, you can get to any level that you wanted. You know, you can reach levels you didn't think you could ever reach just by taking it day to day and working your ass off. I don't know if I can swear on here, my bad, you guys, but
that's not swearing. We have much lower standards than that around here, by the way.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah. Ryan Bowman again with us from the Huskies, and so as you're describing this with Aaron Donald, I'm envisioning you come into your coaches and was Jimmy Lake or whomever and saying, hey, look, I'm here to help the team. Team's number one, but I'm in a 2-point out here, and if that's how I can impact the team, but I'd love to just slide inside and kind of wrestle with some of those
guys. We were planning that for the 2020 season, so there's a ton of packages where I'm at 3-tech or I'm at the nose or a shade nose. So there's tons of stuff that I'm doing inside as well as outside.
Well, you're getting us fired up, man, for the season. First game is 5 months away, so we got to kind of control this energy and channel it in the right direction. But it's really awesome to hear you talking like this and just so fired up that you're back, dude, for this year. But you guys made some coaching changes. Ikeka, who was coaching you guys for a while, I guess, is he still your coach? Because this is the weird thing that you just mentioned it yourself, that you think of a defensive lineman or a defensive end, but you're listed as an outside linebacker. Ikeka is now coaching outside linebackers, and Rip Rowan's coaching defensive tackles. So who's coaching Ryan Bowman?
Coach Malloy is coaching Ryan Bowman, but they have us listed as outside linebackers, but we're really defensive ends.
Yeah, I got you. Well,
and our position at, like, so I play jack and nickel, and the jack and the nickel package is basically a defensive end, a defensive tackle, because there's tons of plays where I'm a three tech, a four eye, a five, you know. It's essentially everything on the defensive line if you're at the jack position.
I love it. Well, the more versatile you can be, the better, not just for you now, but also at the next level. I mean, the more things you can do, the more obviously valuable you become. But Ryan Bowman with us. And Ryan, before you go, let me ask you this, because there's been a lot of conversation the last couple of days. You probably saw where the Seahawks, a lot of other NFL players are declining to go to voluntary workouts around the country because of COVID concerns. And, you know, I made the comment on Twitter. I've said it on the air that, well, wait a minute. You know, why are the college kids working out and there's high school games all over the state, but the pros can't show up and go to work? And naturally, somebody, more than a couple people, came back and said, well, because the college players have no choice. They have to be there. And if they had a union, they would refuse to go too. And they'd go home and walk away. What's your take on that?
Well, I would say we definitely always have a choice, you know? Like, if guys want to opt out, they can always opt out. It's not like they're being forced to play, you know? We just got guys that love football, you know? It's like they want nothing more than just to play a ball. Staying at home doing nothing is the worst possible thing they can think about doing. It's like, why would they want to opt out? We're just going to play, you know?
Yeah,
and a lot of guys, I think they're safer playing football where they're being monitored and they and you guys have accountability. You correct me if I'm wrong now, if I misspeak here, but you guys have the accountability to one another, whereas if you don't have that, you're more likely to maybe I'll go to this party or maybe I'll go to the beach or what have you, and you expose yourself possibly in ways, and you're not having that professional testing and have that the professionals there to tend to you. In a way, one could argue that you're safer playing football than you would be if there was no football.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. I mean, the thing about all the guys that we have, it's typically ball first, you know. Everything else is coming secondary. And it's like, if getting COVID is going to, you know, take you out of the game, dudes are not getting COVID, you know.
Right. Do you know how you got it, by the way?
I do, actually, and it's funny because that whole week, I didn't even leave my house one time, but I lived at the time with my parents and my brother, and my brother came home one day and was sitting on the couch, and he said, like, he felt, like, a little off, you know, and we didn't think anything of it because he doesn't leave the house either. We're like, this dude's always here, so, like, it's definitely not COVID. And he actually went to a sauna place. It's like a City Sweats place where people go to sauna. And we believe that that's where he picked it up at. And then he brought it into our house. And then eventually we all were sick, all in my house. My parents, my brother, me. And it was, then none of us leave, you know. It's like I was going to football and coming home.
Right.
Communal saunas are definitely a no-no for football players.
Yeah, don't be going to no saunas. That's the word from Ryan Bowman, right, man?
If you're going to a sauna, make sure it's your team sauna. Don't go to, like, public saunas or anything like that.
Gotcha. That's good advice, by the way. You see, that's what you get when a guy's on campus for 6 years. The freshman Ryan Bowman could not give you those words of wisdom, but the OG Ryan Bowman can give you all of that. Hey, Ryan, listen.
I'd be in that sauna if I was a freshman.
Exactly. You're the man. Great stuff. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Can't wait to see you guys kick things off. Got a scrimmage tomorrow that fans are invited to come watch, by the way, at UW in the spring game in a couple weeks from now. So go get them, man, and we'll talk down the road, buddy. Appreciate this.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your
thanks,
day.
Ryan. You bet. Ryan Bowman with us on the air. I thought that was great. I thought it was
great hearing him talk
about how fired up we should be for Husky football, his role, why he's coming back, you know, how he's different. It's not often that you have guys come on the air and almost scout themselves on the radio show the way he did.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. I mean, you can just see how much thicker he is on the field. And he's my kind of guy, man. I love kind of there was a, you know, there's a blend. You know, think about this. It's like Goldilocks and the Porridge, not too hot, not too cold. You don't want a guy who's too cocky, you know, and too confident because that just sounds kind of abrasive.
Yeah.
But you want a guy to have some swag, right? Like that guy just – He just hit the strike zone on that point. I mean, that guy sounds confident,
but an
understated confident. I mean, wow. I'd love to go to war with a guy like that. That sounds like my kind of teammate.
He should be a huge factor, man, for the Huskies in 2021. We got a break, a lot more to get to, including a little fun with audio / hey, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Coming up.
What?
Right here on Softy and Dick,
Code Risk.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
The best part of that clip, right there, is the guy in the back on the phone. Trying to get his voice heard. Trying to get a word in. That's how I kind of feel when I'm at home with my wife. I wonder if that's the way people feel when they hear Softy and Hugh on the radio show together. Rawr, 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 just for 4 hours a day. Listen, we got a big one coming up at 6:20. Jackson Feltz is going to be here with the Sounders pre-match show.
Flicked on! Right? It flicked in!
Well, the Sounders open up the 2021 season against Minnesota United tonight at 6:50. And we finally figured out why the 6:50 kickoff, because the M's play at 7:10. That's why. 6:50 kickoff at Lumen Field, 7:10 across the street at T-Mobile Park. That may not have anything at all to do with why they're kicking off at 6:50, but it sounds good to me. Could be a TV thing. I have no idea. All I know is this. We have two games simultaneously tonight being played down in Soho between the Mariners and Astros and the Sounders and Minnesota, and I can't wait to see what the atmosphere looks like down there. All right, a guy who is not interested in either one of them, Hugh Millen, is with us here on the radio show. What'd you make of
you can get me interested in the baseball. Soccer, I don't know, Jackson.
You got to mute your thing. Mute your deal, by the way. When I do this, that means mute, by the way. I'm sorry.
All right.
You okay back there? In 3, 2, and 1. What'd you make of the Ryan Bowman? What'd you make of the Ryan Bowman conversation?
I loved it.
When he says we should be hyping up that UW defensive line, what do you make of that group up front?
I think they look really, really good. And hopefully ZTF is healthy and he'll be ready to go. And I like their philosophy of having two nose tackle type guys up front. I mean, if you look at them, typically a team will have one guy that's in that 6'1", 330 range guy, but then the next guy will be 6'3", 6'4", and 275. I just think for how the Huskies want to play,
right?
Where they can play a too high defense, they can drop eight against the Wazoos of the world, and they can present what would in theory be a soft box, meaning the numbers would favor, like as a quarterback, you're trained, you're up there and you say, wait a minute, if this is a soft box, meaning a 5 or 6 man front, depending on your personnel. But let's just say if you're in a spread and you face a 5-man front, you say, well, we should be able to run. Well, when you have two nose tackle type guys,
right,
then they can two gap and they can just kind of hold up that interior part and not giving ground. So it changes the running back lanes. And so I like the philosophy of what they do. And then if they have the edge pressure, you know, Ryan Broman should be sitting on a big damn year,
right?
A big year. They've improved at middle linebacker. This kid from Oklahoma, this transfer looks like a starter to me.
Yeah.
The corners look solid. I think they're, that defense should be a hell of a defense.
Well, they got two guys in Tuli and Sam Taimani, aka Taki. Tuli 6'2", 310. Taimani 6'2", 330. So They certainly look the part. The question is, will they play the part? And I think it's one of the biggest curiosities for me about this football team. Those are four-year guys, both of them. And Jimmy even mentioned that, you know, a couple weeks ago. It's time for these guys to step up, and if they do, this defensive line could be pretty damn good. You mentioned Brendan Radley-Hiles there, the transfer from Oklahoma. Looks like maybe a nickelback for this football team, because I would say that Kyler and McDuffie are pretty solid as your corners right now. But he has stood out to me in every practice I've been to. I want to come back and ask about him, because it's not very often that transfers live up to the hype, right? People are always in love with a shiny new object like Polk from Texas Tech, and Giles Jackson from Michigan. Jeremiah Martin, I believe, came from Texas A&M. And we don't see a lot of transfers that actually live up to the hype. Will this kid do it? We'll talk about that next on 950.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.